We've been missing you. Do you want to find the witch friends you've been missing? Do you want to participate in these conversations live? And do you want to support the work of recovering a true history of feminist ideas about magic? Do you want to hang out? Do you want an invite to Zoom together with Amy and myself every new moon, along with our hilarious, diverse, wise, queer, creative, anti-racist, science, and awe-loving coven? You must join the Missing Witches Patreon. It's pay what you can, and we can't wait to meet you there. Patreon.com/missingwitches.
You aren't being a proper woman, therefore you must be a witch. You must be a witch.
Hello, hello. There's witches everywhere.
Welcome home to the Missing Witches podcast. Welcome, witches. Welcome, astrologers. Welcome, coven mates. Welcome, stars, and late nights up with your kid and heartbreaks. Welcome all these things that we carry with us. Welcome the things that lead us with love. And welcome chats with new friends and getting to learn a whole bunch of new stuff. And welcome to the brilliant and glowing, you can't see her, but I can, Deborah Silverman.
Am I glowing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got a shiny glow.
I spend a lot of time staring up at the sky, looking at stars. I think that's what influences my glow.
Yeah, you look sun-kissed. How are you today, Deborah?
I'm doing really well. Yes, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. I'm excited to have you. I was really excited when I was digging into your work. My parents are psychologists, and I spend a lot of time talking with them about this strange intersection, you know, between their research and their work. And then all this reading and writing and interviewing I get to do, and, you know, worrying about magical thinking and how do we kind of stay grounded and how do we celebrate reason, but also look to the stars. And I find it so delightful and joyful that you've dedicated your life to this intersection. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
I dedicated my whole life. I spent my entire life with the desire and passion to bridge psychology and astrology. Yeah. Not to say that's the limit to it, because I've also been devoted to the elements with an equal passion. But yes, because I started off with a crazy family. It sounds like yours wasn't crazy.
I mean, yeah, maybe not so much. They're crazy in some ways.
Well, I had a really crazy family. So because my family was so crazy, I could not figure out the logic. Well, there wasn't any. And so I began to study astrology, and it gave me great compassion for those characters. And then I carried on with becoming a psychotherapist and looking at other people's stories and thinking they need some insight about these characters that they ended up living in that house with. And then as years have gone by, it's become the healing balm. It's like I watch people's hearts soften and I watch compassion. And the best example was when my brother took the class, because I have a school. And when my brother took the class, he found out that my father had no air in his chart. And so for all those years where he was so frustrated, because he could never get my dad to socialize or dialogue with him. And then he studied the chart and he was like, oh my God, this is so understanding now. I can't make him talk because his mode is like yours, is water. He was nonverbal. He was all about the feelings that he couldn't speak it because he was a man, but I could always feel my brother couldn't. And that changed everything immediately.
Wow. Yeah, I can imagine that. I'm excited. I didn't mention to the listeners beforehand, but I was really touched that you asked for my dates and things beforehand so you could look at my chart before. I'm sure that gives you a little bit of insider knowledge too, but it's also labor on your part. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I can't do anything that I'm going to go deep without being able to see, especially your Scorpio rising. For me to be able to understand someone and speak their language. And I think the art of astrology and a really good witch knows how to dance with the other. And once you establish that you're like that situation with my brother, when he stopped pushing my dad, he suddenly became a much better communicator because there wasn't this like, rah. So looking at a chart, I immediately know like, oh, she's double water. Mm-hmm. You know, so your level of compassion and sensitivity is such an important variable that I can now know that we're going to go deep. And then if the interviewer is just all air and they just want to ask me thousands of questions, I don't challenge that. I match them. I dance with them.
Mm. How did you, learn how to do that dance? Or can you give us advice for that matching dance? Especially, I don't know much, but I know looking at my own chart, I got everything in one corner and nothing in the other corner. So I know I have some things I need to sort of balance out. What's your advice?
Your chart is so versatile.
Oh, I'm not good at astrology, Deborah. I'm going to take all your classes.
Yeah, your chart actually has the indication of someone that can multitask. Mm. Isn't that true?
Yes.
So you have the capacity to become many variations, but I love the question. There is something called NLP. Have you ever heard of neuro-linguistics programming?
No.
It's an ancient psychological model that was brought to us in, like, I want to say the 70s, but they teach people how to pace. Like when you're having a conversation with someone and they are slower, it is to your advantage to dance with them on their terms, using their rhythm. If someone comes to you and they're just woohoo, like they're jumping up and down and the best thing you can do is, I have this great friend who he walks in the house and we just start jumping up and down because I know he's fire. So it would to dance with the other and to mean that ability to mean what you say and say what you mean by going really into their depths and tracking where they're at and making your words meaningful. But if you're talking to yourself, because the person sitting next to you is moving at the speed of light and you're a turtle, or you're moving at the speed of light and they're a turtle, that will conflict with intimacy.
Yes, I've experienced that as well.
Because you're so deep. You're such an emotional, you're so service oriented and you care so much. And so if someone's going to go superficial and not track you, they're going to miss an opportunity to get to know Risa. But what does a good witch do but dance with everyone that she meets? I think that's my definition.
Yes, I think you dance. And then, like you say, you sometimes also, you recognize when that's not really a dance partner. And maybe the dance then is like a bow.
Good point.
Can you talk more about this early moment for you, the ways that was healing for you? I know you say in your bio, astrology was this like huge relief. It was this understanding. You've referred to it already of understanding your family, but can you go deeper into what that was like for you?
You know, I have a lot of fire in my chart, and I, as a child, collected candles and I never burnt them. I never lit the candles in my room. I had hundreds of candles. And I loved blueberry. I was such a smell person, but I had all these candles, vanilla and blueberry, but I never lit them because I was afraid of my fire. And when I got my chart and went, oh my God, that was me being self-conscious as a teenager and thinking, tone it down. And then once I realized it, I was like, bring it on. So it was the alteration for me personally that gave me back to myself, because I would have overridden in the name of the pleaser. I mean, that thing we talked about, pacing, at worst, you become the other person and you're a brilliant dancer, but you forget your own. And that's what happened to me. And so then I had to recover, like, what did I leave behind? What were the parts of me? And honestly, you know, I have a lot of energy. So when I figured, like, duh, but I had been covering it up. You know, we spend a lot of time in life as a child trying to make our family happy, if that's what the role was. I was a pleaser. And then when I figured it out, I was like, this is ridiculous. And I got myself back.
Yeah, I certainly relate to a lot of that as well, especially the disappearing into the matching. If you're really good at matching, you're really good at drawing out other people. Yeah, you can definitely disappear.
You have that in your chart because you're double water. So we should just go over that. So people that are high sensitives, empaths, mediums, trans mediums who feel other people, they leave themselves out. They are brilliant at healing and touching and caring and cuddling and cooking, but they don't leave. That's you. And then the air people who just love to talk and think, and they're all about their minds. But the result of that is they can lose their own voice because they're so scattered and they're so curious that they become like information sources, but they get confused about making decisions. For example, those are the air people. They lose themselves. The earth people are these grounded monsters who love food and money and time and schedules, but they get so caught in the outer world's measuring stick of success that they lose themselves because they're compelled by that impulse to be productive, workaholics. And then the fire people are the ones that they throw their energy around and they're so loud and they're so vivacious and they're so physical. But what happens is they become out of control. Like there's no off button. So they're always running on full tilt until they get hit or drama.
Right.
happened to me. And they tell, and you're like, can't you just turn off that voltage? So important to know what you're carrying. There's a low road and a high road. Mm. And for me, I had diminished my fire so much. And then I found it. And then I had to learn how not to hurt people, how not to be too excited, but still be true to myself.
Mm. Yeah. What's that process like for you as someone who's really fiery of finding fuel or coming back into my partner's in Aries and we just sort of spin around each other delightfully, you know, and now we have a 3-year-old that kind of makes the loop, I think, between us.
It's such a great example because you're double water, but he's fire.
I'm sure he's triple fire. I don't know his chart, but I think it's all fire.
And that's what always happens. It's so classical when somebody's missing an element. And this is, I've written a book called The Missing Element. I don't know if you knew about that.
Yeah.
But you are missing fire. You don't have fire in your chart. Mm. You only have one, and we call that a singleton. So it's like having none. So you did attract, this is so classical. If I could only tell you how often this happens. So you brought a fire person into your world who, one, is so attractive, but two, can you turn that thing off? And they can't. So then the beauty is it's classical that the missing element shows up in your partner. At first, it's the best thing ever. And eventually it's like, wow, we don't have the same nature at all. And this is where astrology comes in. Like, don't try changing people because that doesn't work.
Yeah. And so how do you think about, you know, some classical sort of psychology terms when you're interpreting them into astrology, or I don't know if you do an interpretation, but for example, we've been thinking a lot about neurodiversity, neurodivergence, and magic. There's a lot of people in our community who've had like late stage diagnoses of ADHD or autism, especially women who are like trying to understand themselves, getting this diagnosis and being like, maybe this in part explains why I'm different, why my brain is different, why I feel like I can talk to trees while I've always felt like an outsider. Can you think out loud about that for me?
Yeah. Think out loud. I love that invitation. So this is the gift of astrology in spades, because the client student comes to see our school. It's a 6-week class. And the very first class, we established the elemental. So we'd say to you, uh-oh, you don't have any fire. And you would be given the homework assignment to turn up the volume, start singing loud, stand up in the shower, like turn on the music in the car. We would give you specific practices to get that fire channel open. Mm. Now, with diagnosis, as you described, those personalities, it's kind of obvious looking at a chart when there's conflict into someone's Mercury, for example, they've got a square to their Mercury and their mental constructs are here to do a different thing than we are. I don't know why we diagnose it with good or bad. It's just they are different. And that's the essence of astrology. So I was diagnosed as a kid with a learning disability. Well, they didn't know it because I'm old. I'm like headed towards 70. You can't tell by looking.
Absolutely could not.
But when I was young, they had no such term as learning disabilities. And I could not figure it out till many years till I got to university. And I felt so self-conscious. Now, if they would have told me, your Mercury's in Taurus, so my mind, Mercury, is in Earth and it requires slowing down and repeating things. Mm. Well, then I would have done so well at school. Just say it 6 times and then I'll remember. And then I'll be the one that never forgets it. But if you go fast and my little Mercury, you'll tell me something's wrong with me. Mm. Well, I can see it in the chart. Nothing was wrong. I just learn experientially. I have to touch it, eat it, smell it, taste it. And then I learn it and I never forget it. But I had a real problem in school because while the teacher was talking, my little Gemini raising her hand, asking, they thought I was so smart. Then the test would come and I'd be like, uh-oh, didn't stick. None of that stayed in my head. I needed to repeat it. And when I finally figured it out, school got way easier. But it took me, I learned the diagnosis of my challenging brain long after the school was, they called me, you know, one teacher told me I was dumb. Yeah. That stayed. That's the kind of stuff that we do in a class of astrology is, oh, you mean my Mercury's in Taurus and it wasn't dumb. It was thorough and it required deep listening and repetition. That doesn't sound dumb. That sounds really profound.
Mm. Can you give some other examples of what Mercury in different placements might affect?
Yes. So let's just do it right with what I showed you. So if your mind is in a water sign, which by the way, you have, that means that your thought process is emotional. Mm-hmm. Now you have a crazy memory for emotional content. Mm-hmm. Like I was wearing a pink dress the day my brother hit me. I was standing right in the corner, like, what? But if I say to you, if I ask you a question about something that you can't remember because you weren't emotionally vested, it would slip out like a bar of soap. Like, I don't remember a thing you said. So your memory is based in memory of emotional content. When Mercury is in water, it's not logic. It's feeling that your mind operates with. Mm-hmm. That would be Cancer, Scorpio, or Pisces, Mercury. If your Mercury is in air, Gemini, Libra, or Aquarius, your mind is so much faster than ours, and you collect so much information, and you get so bored with us going so slow that you just talk over us. And you have so many more ideas that when it comes time to make a decision, you can't. So you don't make decisions. You're the person that says, I don't know what we're having for dinner yet, or if I'm going to go with you. Give me, wait till the end of the day. Like, what? Can't you decide? Nope. The water person goes, oh, I so want to be with you. I'll make my whole schedule around you.
I've made the plans for everyone, but don't let me step on your toes.
No, that was it. You just did it. And the Mercury in air just changes her mind and forgets that she put her phone down somewhere and can't find it. Mm-hmm. And then Mercury in earth, as I described, Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn, they want systems. Like, you make a schedule with me and don't you dare change it. If you're going to change it, you had better let me know at least 5 hours before. And by the way, I don't like when you change it.
Right.
So I'm going to have my little checklist. I get off on the checklist and I will do everything on my list. And the air person's going, where did I put that list? Mm-hmm. And the water person's going, oh no, I have the list. I can help you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I made a list for me and I maybe made one for you. And so, yours is a poem.
It's so cute. Yes, that's the poem, the Mercury in water. And Mercury in fire is, these are the psychics. These are the witches that just go blah. Like, they have no filter. Mm-hmm. And their mental body comes out with one-liners. And sometimes it's psychics. They just know things because it's so impulsive. And their voice is louder than the rest. Like, there's no volume. Like, when Mercury is in fire is Aries, Leo, Sag. And they talk so loud. I always know it's them. There's like a volume knob on them, but they are so much louder and so excited. You're like, whoa, my God, they can't help it.
And so you've been doing this practice many decades. You've taught many people, you've helped many people find out this information about themselves. Like, that must be deeply comforting. Like, what a gift every time. Is it? It feels like it would be.
I think it's my most, like, I feel so full because every time level one finishes and we have hundreds of students that come, there's only 10 people in a class. It's an intimate class and you study your own chart. So yeah. It's not like a vague, I don't like theory because my Mercury is in earth. Now, you know, I want to teach people how to catch the fish, skin the fish, identify the fish. I it's very technical.
Yeah. Sorry. My partner has my 3-year-old.
And he's on fire, so he's loud. It's not his fault.
He's literally tending the fire and yelling.
Don't you dare take that out. That's got to be in the zitter.
I promise to leave it.
All of these personalities, it's the gift I have this life is all these personalities come back to me after they finish level one and they say things like, you changed my life. I have had husbands write me notes and say, my wife is back.
Oh.
You know, she was depressed. She'd lost her chi. She stopped making love to me and you gave her back her chi, her fire, her air, her earth, her water. And yes, it's the most satisfying. I always say this, but it sounds bad, but witches understand this. If I die tomorrow, today's a good day to die is one of my mantras that most people, but you're Scorpio, you get it.
Yeah.
I would feel very fulfilled. I have done my job. I have watched thousands of people come home to themselves.
Yeah. What an incredible gift.
And all I did, you know what I did, Risa? It's so crazy. At the sweet age of, I want to say like 20, I became a professional astrologer. And all I did was just get so passionate. I'm so in love with astrology and it's never diminished.
So I was going to ask you, we have members of our coven who are starting out with their business, tarot, astrology, struggling and like sometimes like young, queer, black, neurodivergent, like, you know, people coming from a marginalized space, financial stresses who are like, God, I fucking want this to work. And I don't know how to make it work. Can you think a lot about that? Can you give us some advice?
Here's what I did. This is what I did. And I really appreciate that because that's a particular category that requires extra love, because once again, they're separated. Just like in astrology, there are certain signs that get separated. It's also true with our color of our skin and our thought process. The simple version is, my answer is, give away as many free readings as you can. Get obsessed with giving it away. There's a law in this universe. I assume everyone knows this, but maybe they don't. If you keep giving out, there's a law. It will come back. Now, it will feel exhausting if you overdo your own capacity, but I can't. I brought the neighbors in when I was little into my room to do tarot readings. I brought everybody. I did every single human's chart I could find. Now that's my fire. So I was a little obsessed, but don't stop. And you can say, let's do a barter. Let's do a trade. You pay me whatever you feel like this is worth when we're done. So that, I don't mean free as in nothing comes back. Like, I used to ask people, bring me a gift. So there's a natural exchange. This is a law, but just keep giving out sessions so you refine the skill, because astrology and the tarot, which is one of my deepest passions, takes years and years and years.
That's really powerful advice. Really powerful. I've definitely experienced that even in the last month, just like investing in other people's projects and 3 days later, a check in the mail for something unexpected. You know,
it's really true. Yeah. And giving is the gift of the soul. The reason why we come to this planet, if anyone's wondering why you're here, it's one, to evolve your soul. Mm-hmm. Like, you keep incarnating again and again and again to become your authentic self. So the sooner you learn astrology and who you are, that's the fast track. And the second is to serve. I have this friend that has this quote he made up. You know why we live forever? Because it takes that long to say thank you.
Yeah, I feel that.
He's Cancer rising. And he's double water like you. He has the most beautiful one-liners. If you can't handle what's in the here and now, don't worry. You can try again later. Don't worry.
Here's another question, and this is in part inspired by our community here too. Thinking about astrology, psychology, mind, body stuff, the impact of our stars or our psychology, our mental state, and our body, our lived experience. Thinking about like chronic illness, many people, especially in this like kind of environmentally fucked world, many of us living with chronic illness. Is there guidance for us in thinking a way back through it or feeling a way back into our bodies?
Good. What is yours?
I had a neck injury when I was like 13, and then I had a migraine for 10 years. I couldn't see clearly for 10 years. I saw auras and was in constant pain for 10 years. And so now sometimes it comes back, the auras come back, or like this thing will start to come back in my back, but I don't get migraines anymore.
That's so in your chart.
Is it?
Yes. You have Uranus. It sounds so funny whenever I say it. I hate saying it because it sounds so funny.
Never stop thinking that word is funny.
Uranus. I don't know. Like a 6-year-old. You have Uranus. I don't know if you know this. When you were born, on the horizon, exactly at the moment of your birth on the eastern horizon, was the planet Uranus. And so the first house is the body. The Uranus is sitting in the first house on the eastern horizon. That is the body. That's the soul. Whatever planet, if there was one, sitting on the horizon at the moment of your birth, it's the signature of the chart. And yours is, Uranus rules the non-traditionalist who cannot follow. Mm-hmm. She cannot be part of the group. Mm-hmm. And it's in Scorpio, which is, it can be physical pain. Scorpio has a huge tolerance for pain. Mm-hmm. So you came in prepared to alter, like your soul said, I'm going to deal with physical pain as a doorway to push me into stillness.
Yes, literally.
What was she thinking? So it's in, and you, it opened the door for you to say, I cannot be part of the group because I'm not going to follow that rhythm, because I've got to tend to my body, because yes, I've got Uranus sitting here on my body, on the physical, on the first house side. My body is being asked to radically depart from what everyone else does and to go into the pain body, Scorpio, in order to find wisdom. I don't know what you were thinking when you signed up for that.
Feels right. Don't know what to tell you. Still
there's feels a right. There's a wonderful man out there called Christian Sundberg, Sundberg. And he tells the story of what happens before we incarnate. And before he incarnated, he also took pain on. That was his agreement. I mean, really, people are either on drugs or they're just taking one for the team. I don't know. So he, and then once he moved through the pain, he became the wisdom source of why we come into a lifetime and absorb chronic pain. And I had a husband who died of MS, so I watched it up close and personal. He was a saint. A person that takes on collective pain like you have has the capacity to meditate it away, but it requires pure silence. You need a lot of don't bug me.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the process for me of coming out of migraine, I worked with an Alexander teacher. So it was also just about like coming into my body, like coming back, gestures that were gentle, coming back into my body. And now maintaining it is definitely like wall of silence, spaces of silence.
Oh, that's sure. So beautiful. I loved the imagery of the body moving slowly in a wall of silence. And no, it's not for all Scorpios. This is specific to a planet conjunct the ascendant. Scorpio rising, to general terms, you could easily say they will suffer from physical symptoms in order, listen to me, ready? Scorpio will destroy the ego in the pursuit of its soul.
Mm.
It's the only sign that will kill itself before the attacker comes to get them. Their tail will kill itself. So they have a very high level of intensity. This is you. And that includes pain down here on earth. And then the high road of that is, to your point, let me do gentle. And then you master that. And then that's a heavy path. That is Scorpio rising. Did you not know that Scorpio risings use pain as the doorway?
No. No, I didn't know that. That makes sense though.
And you're a soul who took on a lot of karma because you can't, with the sun in the, your sun is in the eighth house. You can write this down, astrology students, whatever house the sun is in is the most important house in a zodiac. You'll learn this in my level one class. And you have sun in the house of Scorpio. You probably didn't know that.
No.
So not only are you Scorpio rising, but you have sun in the house of Scorpio. And so this now explains that this person did not do a beige life. You're like, give it to me. I can handle it. I can handle all of it. Let's see how intense you can put me into that small space, which is what migraines do, and see if I can find the door out.
Yeah, it's so funny. I often have like a story about my life that people are like, what the f-
That's so Scorpio. Yeah. I happen to love them. I'm in love with it because people, one, get a bad rap, but in the system I teach, which is esoteric astrology, Scorpio is one of the very top, highest evolved signs because you come down here to eat pain. Mm. People have a misnomer, and I think witches know this. We suffer to come in the soil of pain is where wisdom grows. We suffer to find wisdom. I mean, I don't know who made it up. I don't agree with it, but it's too late now. That's how it goes down here. So if suffering becomes the door to joy, eventually, then eat the poison and turn it into colors. That's what the peacock does. The peacock eats poison off of the tree and it turns it into neon colors.
Hmm.
That's what Scorpios do. They eat poison and turn them into beauty.
Hmm. I have one more question about my own chart, and then I'd love to give the folks here an opportunity to ask you questions. I can hear my kid. I had another astrologer tell me once that something about family was in a place that had to do with death, so that people in my family would have to encounter death or face death or something like this. And we were at the hospital again last night. My daughter has an anaphylactic allergy to bovine protein. So it's like butter, margarine, milk, meat. So it sneaks in kind of everywhere and it crops up in things that, yeah. Anyway, so.
What happens to her? She can't breathe?
Yeah, she goes into anaphylactic shock. Yeah.
Oh my God. So Scorpio.
She didn't last night. She didn't go into anaphylactic shock last night. Thank goodness. We're doing desensitization. So she takes a teeny, teeny bit every day and we increase it every month. And she had her regular amount yesterday, but if her immune system is down, I guess she was getting a cold and we didn't know. If her immune system is down, then she'll react to amounts that were previously okay. So she just got all swollen and wheezy. And yeah.
This is so you. You're built for intensity. And I wouldn't say death. That's way too strong. I would say what I think she's talking about, you know, it's hard to point at what she's aiming at, but I can see that you're a crisis management person. I'd have you in crisis anywhere. You are built to come into the calm when there's stress.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we leave these things and my husband is weeping. We leave the hospital, my husband's weeping and he's like, are you going to be okay? I was like, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I'll find a time to cry about it a week from now. It'll seem unrelated.
Exactly right. Good catch. That is so you.
So funny. Okay. Well, I'm glad you don't see like death looming in my chart of children or something.
For astrology police. Like there'd be a little astrology witch that would come to this person's house and say, do not say that to anyone. That is not okay. That's not true. It's true that you are fearless in the face of deep pain, sorrow, death. You would be a doula. You'd be a great doula.
My sister's a doula. I, to be fair, I also like took something thoughtful that she said and blew it up in my mind over time.
Okay, yes. That's why it's Scorpio, a negative thought.
It's less on her and more on me, but I did want to ask about it. I have so many more questions, but I do want to give the folks who are here an opportunity to ask, because what a gift to get to have you with us. And it's so nice for our coven to get to be here live and not just listen to recordings. So that's the real treat of being here. So go ahead and unmute and say hello. Go ahead.
Hi.
Cassandra, isn't that the name of a witch?
And no one listens to Cassandra.
Well, isn't that the story of too many women?
So I have a Leo sun and an Aquarius moon. And my oldest is a Leo and my youngest is an Aquarius. Do you have any like hot takes on that?
First of all, did you know you were born under a full moon?
Yes, because I go, batshit crazy on full moon.
Well, your chart, whenever the sun and moon are opposite, that tells us it's a full moon, because the sun, that's the clue. A new moon is when there's no reflection and the sun and the moon are hanging together, holding hands, making out in the back room. Don't look, it's a dark sky, leave me alone. But when it's a full moon, it's like, woohoo! So you have that very, and that means that you're extremely intuitive. It's no surprise you'd be interested in understanding the magic, because that's what the chart suggests. When the moon is that full and we're all outside dancing, that was the perfect time for the witches to come out. And then of course, this is a great question because it is classical, just like we found out that Reese's husband was fire because she has no fire, no surprise. You would have children who match your chart. We come in pods. And when I look at the family's charts, it's unbelievably consistent that the children's chart and the parents' chart are perfect mirrors and that they trigger each other. So the more comfortable you are with your Leo, the more comfortable your Leo child will be. The more wisdom you have for your Aquarian child, the more wisdom you'll get to yourself. So there's a echo chamber. And it's like I have children and there was three of them sitting at the table, one married into the family, and they're all Gemini rising. And I was like, isn't this funny that I'm a Gemini? And there's all, so we come in clumps. And then I watch the way we all talk so fast and everybody's moving their hands and everybody's changes topics and we're all laughing. We don't even know what the cryptic. And I'm like, welcome to Gemini. So in your family, it's a little different. It's the willfulness. What the challenge for you, Cassandra, is with those kids is you can't argue with a Leo or an Aquarian. Well, you know that, right?
Thank you. You just...
So what the medicine for that is pick your fights and say, okay, you don't want to take a bath tonight, it's fine, but tomorrow night you get no vote. So you work on where you're bound, because you do not want to fight with those people. They'll lose their will. When we take our children and we start to impose on a Leo or an Aquarian, they get feisty, they get, by the time they're teenagers, they're like, I'm out of here. So the way to do that is you say to them, this is a non-negotiable, and use that term very slowly and very deliberately, like this moment, and let them learn that. This is not, you do not get a vote. But this time you don't want to wear those weird clothes, Mr. Aquarius. Cool. You wear whatever you want. I'm not going to tell you what to wear. Who wants to fight with the kid about what they're going to wear?
Nobody.
So you remember that, your mom trying to tell you what to do and how your will would show up and not want to listen.
Oh, right? Yes. She told me multiple times that I should be a lawyer, which I'm like, ma'am, I have anxiety. I can't do that.
But she had the point was that she didn't want to fight with you.
Absolutely.
And so when we know those people are like that, when you have a child like that, you like is distinct from what Risa would be like. She would be like the softest, sweetest little child who was using her will secretly with her eyes and staring at people, but she wasn't going to argue. She was just going to stick her feet in the ground and not move when she didn't want to. That's what Scorpio rising does. That's not true with Aquarius Leo. They're loud and they are not going to listen to you. And so then you have to have, this is what I call it the mean mom. When my kids got to that point where I could tell, because I had one child who was a double Aries. And so I didn't want to fight with a double, like it's going to burn the house down. But I would do it like this. As soon as it would get to that pitch, I would say, uh-oh, mean mom's here. And they'd go, mean mom. And it would only be rarely that I would ever do that, but they knew to be scared of mean mom. Because when I warned them, you do one more of that thing and mean mom is here. And I taught them because they learned at a very neutral spot. I'm going to use my voice and you're going to hear me. And I scared the shit out of them. And then they learned they never had to have mean mom. If they would, when I reach that pitch, when the kid gets that willful, you get to either say, I surrender. And they love when you do that. Or you get to call out mean mom, but warn them, stay awake, because that's too willful kids.
Thank you. You just gave me very, very many affirmations to how I've been feeling. So thank you. I appreciate you.
What an interesting thing to notice over the years, that reflection between parents and kids. I mean, that so speaks to what so many of us know, that our kids are there to bring out the thing that we needed challenging on. But to see it even reflected in charts is so interesting.
And so what happens to your point, Risa, is a mom like you would end up with a fire kid because she has no fire. And then you're like, I don't know how to do this. Well, that kid's going to teach you.
Yeah, she's like Libra. And then she has like Scorpio all throughout her chart. She's got
no surprise. See my point?
Yeah, 7 different kinds of Scorpio. I was like, I'm in for this. I was looking at her chart like, okay. And she does. She gets like, she's summoning her rage, you know.
And good for you. So then your willingness to be comfortable with it is you get to say, this is what I do with kids. You echo it and you go, whoa, you look angry. Don't say stop being angry to a Scorpio. That just makes them pissed off. Or totally. To a Leo. How do you get Leo pissed off? Tell them to stop being loud. Tone it down. No, you tone it down. So you just raise your voice and match the kid. Or if it's the Scorpio kid, you say, I really see your anger right now. And by the way, you may have to go in your room because this is more than I can handle. But you don't dismiss it. You don't diminish it. You name it. I call it tagging with kids. You tag what they're doing. You name it.
Yes.
And then you give them a vote.
Yeah. Yeah. We did this just the other day. Yeah. She stormed off with my, you know, kept checking back to make sure my parents were following her, but she stormed off down the street. I'm going to the park. Parents just don't understand. Storming, but then like checking, make sure someone was with her, you know. I came to get her and she was like, kind of agreed to leave the park, got into my arms, but then looked at me with like, she's like, do you see my face? Do you see my face? Like, what's that face? She's like, I'm so angry. I'm like, gosh, you are so angry.
Bingo. And you echoed.
Okay. Yeah. I have parents of 2 psychologists. They don't speak astrology, but they do speak psychology, you know.
You can see the magic of knowing children's charts. And I got the privilege of working in a school, a whole school one year, where every kid in the school with the teacher, I went through their chart. I got to say to the teacher, you do not let that little Libra girl sit next to that little Aquarius girl, because they're not going to stop talking. And then we really learn distinctly, this kid needs you to touch them when you're talking. This kid needs you to leave them alone when you're talking. Like, there was distinctions. And I can't think of more significant work in this lifetime than helping children understand their chart. And we have a specialist in our team on Instagram called Luminary Parenting. And she specifically deals with the kid's chart and the parent's chart. And she is brilliant. Oh my God. On my team, I have 20 astrologers that I've trained professionally and they have all different interests, but there is one specifically working with parenting.
That's so powerful and so awesome. Can you tell us more? So registration will open again in September, I think, for the school.
Right. Yes, September and January, the two times that's only when we have the school open. There is a immersion coming up that's going to happen before it opens in September, where I meet with everyone for 10 days and we do meditations and prayers and we do all kinds of magic. But you want to get on the waiting list, you just go to my website, Deborah. It's 3 words, Deborah Silverman Astrology, D-E-B-R-A. And the school starts twice a year and there's about 600 students that show up. We can only do that many. So there's a wait list. And people finish level one and they really remember who they are. And you can study your kids during the class, because that, I think that's the most important thing in the whole world, is think of how different I would have been if my mom would have understood I had fire. God.
And then the school goes on in levels and people can actually take this training to
an astrologer. Yeah.
From astrologers, right? Yeah.
So level one is just a personal transformation where you really study your own chart. Level two is the technology of how to do a reading. You actually get the how-to, and we give you a client, your first client, so you can get the ball rolling. And level three is with me or one of my advanced astrologers. And then you do readings in front of us and we teach you the skill. And then if you're really keen, well, you can, by the end of level two, you can start doing readings and get paid. I mean, it's that succinct. And we have such a good track record of people paying us back. The level one is 1,000, level two is 2,000. And by the time they finish level two, all you got to do is get, you know, 10 students that you volunteers to pay you $100, and you've paid yourself back for level one.
I love the fact that you've been doing it for so long. And there's such an investment in learning yourself and understanding yourself. And
because I'm a therapist. It's not normal astrology where it's technical and it's jargon. I can't stand that. They start talking about all this stuff and you're like, I don't know what she just said. But if I can simplify and say, look, Uranus is sitting on, sounds so funny, on your ascendant, on your body this lifetime. So you're going to deal with radical entrance into the pain body and then the beauty of stillness and silence taking you out of the pain body.
Yeah. I mean, the greatest thing I learned from that experience is what it is to know pain, right? Because then you just know other people. You just have this, it just opened up my
the highest road. I mean, Scorpio is the point of the avatar. There's the one thing that humans don't ever admit to, but look how we come into this planet. Our mom is screaming and yelling.
Yeah.
Hello. Anyone that's given birth goes like, who made that up? But that's how it goes down here. It's ow, 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 yum. Mm-hmm. Like I tell people, when people are making love, you can't tell if it's fun or if painful. Like, what are those sounds?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a funny image. Gotcha.
You went right from the one to the next too. I had them blurred in my mind. I love it. So something we often ask at the end of an interview, and I think I have you for maybe five more minutes, is what is a ritual or a practice, something that's helping you right now? I know you're going right now into a live meditation you're offering. So there's a lot of places that people can connect with you and your work that are free and incredibly generous, and that people can kind of follow with you in your shiny, shiny light. But what's something that's helping you right now in the world? What's something that we can carry from Deborah today?
I do a really strong practice with my breath, and I don't do pranayama. I literally am on my bicycle, my witch. I'm on my broom, an electric bike. And every single day, wherever I am in the world, I'm on that bike. So I think of it as my broom, and I do deep breaths. I'm very deliberate about breathing in, holding it, and then slowly breathing out peace or calm or love. I do it every single day. I do a conscious, I count them in a day. How many times did I stop time, breathe in, hold it, and then breathe out slowly? And if I literally have learned to do this as a practice. I mean, it's not woo-woo and it's not like some sophisticated mantra that comes with some culture that I don't even know. I just breathe. And it's really supported me in being deliberate. Mindfulness. So that's one simple one. I have many rituals. I am a candle burning, incense burning every single day. I get in trouble because there's little incense droppings all over. I call it incense poop. I am a ritualistic monster because I remember the temples that I came from, and I didn't get this lifetime, this gift of astrology, without having spent lifetimes inside of a temple. So that has carried through with me. And that means, you know, cleanliness. I didn't understand this till I got older. Earth, my element was earth. So I've created ritualistic, repetitive. I have my favorite smells. I have my favorite candles. I have my favorite routes that I'm like a broken record. Everyone knows where I am because I go in circles, but it's given me the gift of calm. Mm-hmm. And taking deep breaths is my very favorite one.
Thanks for that. We are definitely big fans of the practical magic.
Because your moon's in Virgo. Four planets in the 10th house of being a professional. You can't stand fake.
That's true. Except when I wasn't fake, but I definitely wrote it out in the corporate world for quite a while.
That's what you had to learn.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You are just a delight to talk to. Thank you so much for your time. It's really such a pleasure. I sort of wish this was video recorded so people could just see your beaming.
So funny. I think I ate the sun when I was little.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you've got that fire thing, but not that fire thing where it's like, whoa, turn it down, lady. I need a break.
I know. You know what? You're so sensitive. And it is a problem with all my fire. I've had to learn this lifetime that not everybody can handle the sun that I ate.
Yeah.
On their sunglasses and move a little back a little bit. I used to take it personally, get my feelings hurt. And then I realized there's some of my friends who are fire who just think I'm cute and little.
Yeah. What an also interesting gift, just the focus on the elements. I think I knew that was there in astrology, but to have that as just this core touchstone, these four things to look at will help me.
And that's witchcraft. That's the book I wrote, The Missing Element, which is subtitled Compassion for the Human Condition. You learn about the four elements right off the top. It's a very simple book. You take a test in the second chapter and you figure out your missing element and then you go read about it. And there's four wheels in a car, like four elements. One of those elements goes down and you can't drive. So you want to have water, air, earth, and fire. And that's the whole my system that stands out. The very beginning of everything I do, it starts with the honoring of the four directions.
Yeah, us too. Yeah. I mean, call yourself whatever you like, but you were in the pantheon of witches I was missing, certainly. So it's a real pleasure to meet you.
I'm so happy. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time. I can't wait to share this episode and share all your work with our listeners. Thank you again. Be safe. Bless fucking be.
Look up and just remember the faith that you have. The sun will come up tomorrow and the moon is moving through the sky and it's completely dependable. And while this world, said the elder, gets scarier and scarier, you can trust that there is a design. Every astrologer knows that. Perfectly organized by an intelligence we cannot understand. And I don't think they can understand us either. I just made that up.
All right. I'm spinning open the circle. Go and find Deborah's meditations and books and work. Find each other, support each other, find your missing elements. If you're like me, let's go turn up some fucking music and yell real loud and find our fire again. All right. My loves, my friends, my witches, my wise ones. Blessed fucking be.
You must be a witch.
Are a couple of tiny, quick, free things that you could do right now to help the Missing Witches Project stay afloat and grow. The old rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast on Apple or wherever you listen. Honestly, truly, it helps so much. And even better, share it with a friend. Share it with someone who might love it. Let's weave this web together and gather all our kin. Thanks, and bless if I can be.